And we are joined now by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, to continue our conversation. How are you? It's been a while.
It has. Yeah,
the
I'm
last
good.
Time you were supposed to come in was the 4th of July, so there was just no show at all. So
yeah, exactly. It's all good.
Cool.
Glad to be back.
All right. So we want to talk about brunch today, since the brunch bill passed, and it's something that I think all sides can be on the same page on. So we'll talk about that in a second. But before we get started, since it's in the news and things are happening right now, thoughts about the healthcare thing that's apparently not going through Congress right now?
Yeah, that's pretty much the extent of what I've heard about it. To be honest, I haven't read into the details as much as I probably should have been keeping up with it. But yeah, it just seems to be stalled. We talked about this earlier.
A while ago,
I mean, a few months ago now, and I just I guess at that point in time, this was before even the what was it, the American Healthcare Act was was introduced, and then even before that, and I thought that there was going to be all of these great reforms, like it was going to be more competition across state lines, HSA-based, I mean, just tons of stuff that they would just reform in a more free market sense, and it's just gone absolutely nowhere. It's so frustrating. It's why I haven't paid attention to it. I just can't even stand it. It's like I just want them to vote on a repeal or something, and then, you know, the people who don't vote to repeal it, then you know where they stand, and then you can either get mad or get or like them. I mean, I don't know. I just want them to have a vote on something, and so we can get somewhere.
Yeah.
And because when, you know, President Obama was still in office, they introduced a repeal, which is just symbolic, and of course. But now it's like, can we do this for real?
Yeah.
Now that, you know, we have the House, the Senate, the presidency. I mean, are they just waiting for every single person in the country to be a registered Republican at this point? I don't know what they're waiting for.
Yeah. What do you think the goal should be? Like, ultimately, is it sort of a principled free market? Is it a particular sort of outcome goal that you want them to seek? Or,
well, for me, it is.
I swear to God, we'll get to brunch in a second.
Free market.
I'm just curious.
Well, it all sort of ties together.
I'm trying to figure out a segue between the two.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it is more of a free market reform is what I would like to see. That would be my ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Development with the long-term goal of having a healthier populace that has more choices about their health care, that's, you know, more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more competition and such, but and leave the corporations that seem to be driving the discussion. This is maybe a good segue between this and the brunch bill. The corporations are driving the discussion on healthcare and just focus on the health outcomes for people. What's best as far as that goes. And then on top of that, I mean, there's been this capitulation, I feel like, on the Republican side, which I wouldn't equate with conservative in this instance, where they've just given up and have said, okay, well, healthcare is an entitlement. It's a right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could, it's too late now, I think, for this Congress, but somehow change the conversation back to it's a commodity. It's not a right.
Yeah.
But that's really getting my hopes up. So,
speaking with Ashley Campbell. So speaking of, hang on a second, let me figure this out. Speaking of corporations driving the conversation, maybe in a negative way, let's talk about companies driving the conversation in a positive way.
Sure.
Like the local distillers who lobbied the General Assembly to pass the brunch bill. Does that work as a segue?
Go
for
it.
We're going
for
it. All right. down to the local level for an issue that for a bill that the General Assembly passed, Governor Cooper signed, and everyone in Orange County seems to be on board with, which who thought that would happen in 2017, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess Carrboro even had a special session if they're
and Chapel Hill.
They had one too.
Yeah, okay. and Hillsborough this Thursday, right?
So Hillsborough is, I guess, the last municipality to
Durham's holding out until
In Orange County.
In Orange County.
So, but they're, I think they've been on vacation and whatnot. So they have a meeting this Thursday that's part of a planning board public hearing, but they're having this tacked on to it. So yeah. I'm sure they'll vote.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Chapel Hill, I was filling in as news director for Blake Hodge, so I was covering the meeting on Monday night.
Oh.
And I was on the air, too, so it started at 6. I'm like, well, I'll just set this thing to record, and then I'll pick it up. I'm sure they'll
still be in the
approving of the minutes of the last meeting.
You've been busy.
I was like, nope, the meeting's over. It was 9 minutes long. It was the best town council meeting to ever cover.
Wow.
It was great.
Was fast. Yeah, good.
Pam Heminger told me afterwards that there were some people for the Chamber of Commerce's leadership thing that they had their like leadership seminar that one of their requirements is they have to attend a town council meeting, and some people just very wisely picked that one. So instead of being there for 4 hours, they were there for 9 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it is very business related as well.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
That works.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. So, so I'm sure Hillsborough, as I said, will pass it. So all of these, it's interesting to me because these very progressive local governments are just jumping on board as fast as they can with something that's passed by the General Assembly, which is typically, you know, denounced and vilified whenever something comes down from them.
At least sort of the high-profile stuff, because the one thing that I've really been trying to emphasize in the last couple of, like, really the last month or so is just how many bills just sort of fly through the General Assembly, they're unanimous, bipartisan, get signed by the governor, and we don't talk about them because there's no controversy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to the legislature's website and look at all the bills that have been signed this session, it's an amazingly long list.
Yeah, yeah. Especially right there at the very end, a lot of them got passed. And then, you know, the governor's vetoed, what, 8 or 9 of the bills, I think, now? I've lost count. But not that many.
And some of them have been overridden, some not. But yeah. So, So it's been really interesting, I guess, because a lot of people are very excited to get to drink 2 hours earlier on Sunday. And I mean, I don't drink, like, okay, well, right now I'm pregnant, but before that, I didn't anyway.
I was going to have questions, as you said, like, you came in here with, like, mimosas in both hands.
Just to clarify, that was an existing condition.
Policy, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I generally come at it from the approach that, the state shouldn't control alcohol at all, and that you don't need, you know, you need people who want to buy alcohol and the people who want to make it and sell it to them. And that's it. That's all you need. And they can regulate the system themselves. But, you know, so I don't care when people want to drink. You know, I'm not a non-drinker from a religious perspective or anything like that. You know, as long as you can do what you want, as long as it doesn't infringe on my rights or anybody else's, but they've just gotten so excited over this, and then being able to buy 5 bottles of liquor from a distillery a year instead of just
as
one.
As opposed to one. Well, as someone who just went to Gatlinburg, which has a thriving downtown distillery, that can actually be a relevant thing.
Yeah.
If you go to the Durham Distillery or Topo and you take the tour and then they give you the tasting and then you like it, but you can't get it anywhere. So
I don't doubt it, but I just would just ask, well, if this is a good thing, why have any of these restrictions?
Right.
So, why have, the ABC board controls, or commission, I guess, still controls liquor sales. You know, it's pretty much a monopoly. I mean, they let these distilleries sell just a tiny little bit, but only 5 bottles, because they don't want them to be able to compete with the ABC stores. And then the distilleries can only sell their products at the price that the ABC Commission sets for them, even though it's their product that they are selling on their own premises, and they can't have any deals or anything like that, and they have to have a special label and a special point of sale system so they can track who's buying how many bottles in a year, which I'm sure is cumbersome. So to me, the story is more about what is left out of this bill. Things that were first actually introduced in other bills and that just fell by the wayside as the session moved along, like lifting the barrel cap on craft breweries. Right. Because right now, breweries can only have 25,000 barrels that they can sell themselves before they have to work with a distributor, which is like this forced marriage, essentially, because since Prohibition ended and states, from 1933 onward, controlled alcohol sales again, North Carolina has had this three-tier system where you have the producers, the distributors, and the retailers. And so once breweries or any alcohol producers reach a certain size, they have to work with a distributor that then controls the sales, the marketing, pretty much everything about the distribution, the quality of the shipment. Mm-hmm. So, I can't imagine if I was a craft brewer and it was the fault of the distributor that, this product was spoiled when it reached market, but people don't know it's the distributor's fault. They think that it's the brewery's fault because they see it
they
as
see
your
the brewery
product.
Label. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people don't even know about this three-tiered system. And so, it's really, despite these little reforms, all the big stuff, that all these huge regulations that are sort of still operating everything behind the scenes were left in place. And there's still no happy hour, which I don't get. God forbid people after a hard day at work want to go have a couple of slightly cheaper cocktails at a bar or something.
Well, this is the thing, I have this thought about a number of different issues. We were just talking about, just talking with Anna Richards about the whole voter integrity project that's going on, and conservatives are concerned about voter fraud. And there's, not evidence of widespread people voting, illegally. What there is people who are registered here and then they move to another place, they register there, and now they're registered twice. They don't vote at the other place, but they're registered. And this is just sort of this outdated system where if we thought outside the box and said, okay, what if we had, and I'm just sitting here looking at this saying, okay, what if we had a system where you're automatically registered when you turn 18. When you move, you fill out your change of address form and your voter registration is automatically taken care of. And it's just this updated system. We wouldn't have these orphaned voter registrations that cause people to be upset, but we're not thinking outside the box. And in this case too, we're not thinking outside the box when it comes to the ABC bill. We pass this law, this is grand liberalization of liquor laws, but what we really want is maybe we don't need an ABC board. Maybe we can join the other, I don't even know how many states. I know Michigan and New Jersey, which were the two states I lived in, didn't have ABC boards. And then I come here and it does.
Right.
And everyone just takes it for granted, right?
That's true. Yeah. I was surprised. So I think it's maybe 17 or 19 states. It's definitely a minority of states that have that are control states.
Yeah, yeah. The first one I saw was Utah, and we just sort of drove in there on vacation. And it's like, well, those Mormons, they must be the weird one. But there's actually a lot.
There's definitely states that are more controlled and regulated than North Carolina is. But we have had these laws that just stem from the Prohibition era for so long and that are just so entrenched. I can't quite wrap my mind around what you're just saying of why we still need, the ABC board because, it operates all these stores, that's what, and warehouses, and that's, what we see of its presence. That's what most people are familiar with. And to operate that, it's something like $500 million. Well, it's $500 million a year that they expend. Now, I think about $300 million of that is the cost of goods. So the alcohol products that they're purchasing from probably distributors, maybe a few producers, and selling in stores. So that's a lot of overhead that taxpayers are responsible for. Mm-hmm. And if it was privatized, then we wouldn't be responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars of keeping these stores running and the boards running, which, I mean, in I think it was around the early 2000s, or no, actually, no, it was just a few years ago. There was sort of a, you know, a corruption scandal with the ABC board, and we wouldn't have to deal with any stuff like that. And so we could have a more flexible system like a lot of other states do, that, you know, so that these craft brewers, for example, that want to be able to grow their business but past 25,000 barrels, but instead they keep their businesses small on purpose, and that's, you know, a huge lack of money, that's millions of dollars that are just not being invested in communities to, you know, create lots of jobs. I mean, they're deliberately keeping themselves small so they don't have to work with a distributor that controls their product, essentially, after it leaves their hands. And, you know, there's only 12 distributors in North Carolina, but they're a really powerful lobbying group. I mean, contribute millions of dollars to political campaigns. And so, you know, they really have a vested interest in making political donations, but not so much in the success of breweries. So they're not really operating with a proper incentive either. So
those were the corporations that you wanted to segue over.
Yeah, the distributors.
Yeah, okay. Now I see where you were going with that.
The distilleries worked too. Yeah. You know, I'm glad for them that they have the ability. I know they've been working on this for years to try to just to get more than one bottle.
I haven't seen Scott
year.
Maitland since the bill passed. I think he's still celebrating somewhere.
Yeah, okay, probably. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And that's where I first heard about this was from him.
I mean, he's been fighting years for this.
Yeah. But it's a good start, I suppose. Better than nothing. I mean, now I remember Hillsborough's got this auction house, Leland Little. I'm sure a lot of people know about it. They used to, last year, I think they tried to have a liquor auction, and then at the last minute found out that the ABC board doesn't allow liquor auctions. Mm. And so that all was just shut down. But now they can at least buy a $750 permit to have an auction.
Can they have a bottle auction and just throw the liquor in for free?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's the first workaround I come up with off the top
of my
head.
There's so many rules around, you know, well, if you don't sell it, then it's okay sometimes, but not really. So I don't know. Maybe, but I doubt it.
Well, we'll keep following this issue as it continues to develop, because the brunch bill law that passed is probably not going to be the end of this. It's just a step.
I hope that we see more reform next session, maybe, or this fall.
All right. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.